This is Romance Watson welcoming you to another session of Software Modernization with Mark Schroeder. Today, Mark will interview Jeff Olin, the author of the book, The IBMI Programmer's Guide to PHP. Jeff Olin is the co-founder of Olin Business Consulting, a provider of custom IBMI software solutions. He has over 20 years of experience with IBM mid-range systems, including all the incarnations of the IBMI. Olin Consulting has developed PHP applications on the IBMI for a wide variety of companies and continues to assist companies in switching to PHP. Jeff has extensive development experience using a wide variety of programming languages. Let's listen in and learn about using PHP on the IBMI. Here is your host, Mark Schroeder, as he interviews Jeff Olin of Olin Business Consulting.
Well, Jeff, I'm glad you're able to be here to share your knowledge on software modernization with using PHP. Can you give me a brief overview of your experience with the IBMI and a little bit about what your expertise is?
I started my career on a IBM System 34 back in the late 80s. And if you can believe somebody was actually using a System 34 in the late 80s, and that was where I started learning RPG and working with the mid-range systems. And coming forward from there, I worked on every release they had. I mean, I worked on a System 36, a System 38, and then started working on the AS400 when it came out. And mostly RPG applications. Worked with all the different flavors of RPG, from RPG2 right on up to RPG Freeform. And done a little bit of C development on the AS400 back in the day, and a little bit of Java, and then more recently been doing a lot of PHP.
It looks like your background covers the main areas of the 400, or the IBMI as we're calling it now.
Yeah.
Going on in the IBM world, IBM seems to maybe not be supporting the IBMI as much as people would like. So they've come up with this iManifest. It started in Japan, I believe, has moved to Europe and to the United States. Can you explain to me about what the iManifest is and what the goals are for it?
Yeah, the iManifest, it's pretty exciting. The way that started out was a group of ISVs and resellers and IBMI customers in Japan sort of banded together and said, hey, you know, since IBM's kind of dropped the ball going all the way back to the very beginning of the AS400, they sort of dropped the ball with promoting it and advertising it and those sorts of things. This group banded together and said, okay, hey, we as the customers and resellers and ISVs, we're going to revitalize the IBMI market in Japan, and we're going to work to increase the IBMI customer base. You know, and they set out sort of three main objectives, and that I was just saying about revitalizing the IBMI market is the first of the three, and then the second is to assure the IBMI customers and resellers and ISVs that are out there selling the IBMI solutions that the IBMI is not only going to survive but continue to prosper. And then the last one, and certainly not least, is to inform the wider IT community of the unique value proposition of the IBMI. And they sort of put this together in a declaration and then took out a full-page ad in one of the largest distribution newspapers in Japan, which is called the Nikkei, and took out a full-page ad and said, hey, we're doing this. And it's really sort of lit the IBMI community on fire. I mean, it's really kind of spread like wildfire to Europe. Martin Fincham is actually spearheading the European Union iManifest, and they just actually got rolling back in July. And then Martin and I kind of hooked up and started trying to get this thing rolling in the U.S. just a few weeks ago at the beginning of September. And so we're just really sort of in the infancy of the whole thing in the United States. But it's the response from the IBMI community thus far has been overwhelmingly positive. So it's been very a very positive experience thus far. So we'll see. You know, it's like I say, it's kind of just in its infancy. We'll see how quickly we get our membership up and get our own ad declaration out there.
Sounds like something that would have been nice to have IBM do a few years ago. We've seen them not provide as good a support as we'd like.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, and you know, and actually I get that a lot, that exact question a lot from, you know, people all over the world. You know, in fact, I was talking to a guy in Italy not 2 weeks ago, and his first question to me was, well, why isn't IBM doing this? You know, why is it that the IBMI community is having to step up to the plate and do this? You know, and he's like, you know, I don't know if our company's going to, you know, put up the money and the effort to be a part of this unless IBM's going to, you know, put some money and put some resources behind it. And I had to tell him, you know, I said, you know, that's not going to happen. You know, we've waited 20 years for IBMI to do something like that, and they haven't. They're not going to change.
Exactly. They've had such a good box there, but they've never really put the support with it. And the community, like you've seen the results, that the community just loves it and they want it to survive.
That's absolutely the case. You know, if you're an IBMI user and an AS400 user from way back, you have no interest whatsoever in moving to a new platform. Unequivocally, no one that I've spoken with that is an IBMI developer or has worked with an AS400 in their shop, no one wants to move to like a Linux box or a Microsoft box and get off of the IBMI. None of them. You know, it always is pushed down from above, from someone who is unfamiliar. And that's really what the iManifest is about, is to educate and bring the awareness up to those people.
We're looking at it having some impact on the IBM itself, but probably more impact on the whole computer industry, basically, having people that currently use Linux or Windows or something and make them aware that, oh, there is really a good alternative.
Yeah, the big goal, and that was the third objective there, was to educate the IT community at large, the people that are using Windows boxes or using Linux boxes or using Unix boxes today, let them know that, like you say, there's another alternative out there. And not only just another alternative, a better alternative.
Right. And that's what people don't realize, is that it is the best alternative.
Yep.
We're just a bit biased, though, aren't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, just a little. You know, it's like it's like at least we eat our own stuff, whatever, however that saying
right.
goes.
Yeah. What kind of impact do you think that the iManifest is going to have on the IBMI community?
I guess that's a good question. What I've seen thus far in the IBMI community and sort of the reaction, there's two reactions mainly to the iManifest. And the first is, you know, oh my God, this is great. You know, why didn't we do this, you know, years ago, and what can I do to help? And just overwhelmingly positive, you know, just people are really excited about, you know, getting the word out and sort of taking their fate in their own hands, so to speak. And then there's sort of the other side of that, which is the other group of people that you run into that are like, how is this going to do any good? IBM has sold us down the river. We're done. Give up. You know, so there's the people that are like excited about it. And then there's sort of the apathetic crowd that's kind of going, oh, this, you know, this will never work. You know, true of almost any project you run into. I personally was a little disappointed to see that in the iSeries crowd, but you know, I feel a certain amount of attachment to that crowd, so I was a little disappointed to find it within my own ranks.
Some people are just looking at it and saying, well, it's coming to an end, so we got to jump ship and find another alternative, another way to go.
So, right, and there's a lot of that.
How can a person get involved with the iManifest if they want to help and maybe provide some, I don't know, if you need funding or if you need legwork where people are helping spread the word, or what can people do?
Okay, well, first off, yes, we absolutely need people to spread the word. So, you know, go to the website, join the LinkedIn group for iManifest United States, or if you're not in the U.S., join the one in the European Union or Japan, and join the group. And then spread the word. And if you're, you know, sort of a decision maker for a company and you want to get involved from that level, you can buy your seat on the board and, you know, get involved monetarily and all of that as well. We've got sort of three tiers of size of company. So like the tier one companies are, say, $30 million a year in revenues and above. And then the tier two companies are anywhere from like $2 million in revenue a year to up to 30. And then tier three is sort of everyone below $2 million a year in revenue. And so your financial contribution to sort of buy your way onto the board, if you will, depends on the level of the tier that your company is. And there's different reasons that we did it that way, but primarily because we need to ensure that a certain number of the larger companies get involved. Those are the ways that you could get involved. And certainly for just your average Joe programmer that's out there and going, wow, this sounds great, I want to get involved, you know, there's plenty to do. Write an article, you know, tell your friends, tell your boss, whatever, you know, join the group, watch what everyone else is doing.
Word of mouth can really have a lot of impact. I think, you know, with the social networking, we've seen a lot of that take place already.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's really what the whole thing is with a grassroots sort of movement like this anyway, is the word of mouth, you know, to spread it that way. So.
Sounds good. Now we're going to switch gears here a little bit. We both know the IBM i is a really good machine. One of the downfalls of it has always been the presentation that it gives. It has a great back end, great processing, but doesn't do a good job with showing the screens. The green screens, I love the green screens, but not everybody does. So I think you came up with an approach to address this issue.
Yeah.
You use PHP in your programming.
Yes.
How much experience do you have in PHP? And tell me a little bit about your experience.
Sure. I got started with PHP probably close to 6 years ago now. Let's see, that would make it 03. Yeah, so just about 2003. Started playing around with it and trying to get it to work on the IBM i that I had at the time. And believe it or not, going back as far as V5R2, IBM i developers have had the ability to compile and run PHP and MySQL in the PACE environment. If you ever tried to do that, though, which I did, and I actually did get it to work on one of the machines that I was working on at the time, you had to compile it yourself and compile all the stuff into it, and you had to compile the MySQL from the source code. And unless you had a fairly good understanding of AIX and Unix and some of that stuff, it was quite a challenge. So it wasn't easy to get it going back then. So I actually kind of played with it on and off for the first couple of years there. And then for probably the last 4 years, I've done a lot of really solid development using PHP and been using it regularly.
You mentioned that you went back to about 2003 for when you started using it. When did it actually become a decent option for someone to start using on the IBM i?
Well, in April of 2006, IBM i selected Zend to bring PHP to the IBM i. And at that time, they also announced that they were going to have Zend port the PHP development tools, the Zend Core, the Zend platform, and the Zend framework to IBM i. Now, that's all actually been done for some time now. And see, now I'm on the spot a little bit. I'm actually not sure when they completed bringing those development tools to the IBM i. However, I can tell you that as of February of this year, 2009, all IBM i's come preloaded with Zend Core PHP. So if you got your IBM i after February of 2009, it's already got it on there.
Well, that makes it quite a bit easier, doesn't it?
Yeah. And it really, once Zend brought their installation process and their, you know, sort of package, if you will, to the i, it became much, much easier to use. I mean, you essentially run an install program that'll run either from your Windows client, or you can use a save file and install it that way on your IBM i directly. And it, you know, you run it, you start the subsystems, and away you go. I mean, it's that easy. It's really much better now than it used to be.
So any 400 programmer should be able to install it, right?
Yep, you bet.
Because we're a bit spoiled. We don't like to do all those extra things.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting it going is really, really very simple now.
Why is PHP a good fit for the IBM iModernization?
Well, there's a couple of things that make PHP a good choice for your IBM iModernization tool. The first and foremost, obviously, being that the transition from being an RPG developer to developing in PHP is by far an easier transition than moving to any of the other languages that you're likely to investigate for that purpose, say Java or C++. Any of those are going to be you're going to have a much longer learning curve going from RPG to one of those than going from RPG to PHP. And the primary reason for that is that in order to write good Java code or good C++ code or even any Java code or C++ code is you've got to know object-oriented programming techniques. There's not really any sort of middle ground there where you don't need to know that. You can just go in and write some procedural Java code or procedural C++ code. It just doesn't work that way. Whereas with PHP, you can write PHP procedural code all day long. In fact, I've got live applications that I've written running at casinos and telecommunication providers and any number of companies that's all written in procedural PHP, not a lick of object-oriented code. Now, some of the newer stuff that I'm doing, I'm actually using some of the object-oriented techniques because it just, at a certain point, it starts to make sense. But when I started, I absolutely didn't need to know that. And so that made it easier for me, even though I had a little bit of object-oriented background.
Yeah, that is one thing I like about PHP is, you know, it actually started as a non-object-oriented language, so it does have that core that you can use.
Yeah, in fact, I'm gonna mess this up. Rasmus, the guy that actually originally developed PHP before Andy and Zeev took it over, Rasmus is all against object-oriented being a part of PHP. He just has nothing good to say about object-oriented techniques and that. So I thought that was very funny. And then I guess lastly, just to top all of this off, is affordability. PHP for IBMI is free. ZenCore provides it for free. They provide the interactive development environment, the Zen Studio for IBMI, for free to IBMI developers. And that's not something that's like a temporary thing while it's in beta or something like that. That's an ongoing relationship that IBM and Zen have created. So that's going to continue to be that way.
That's a pretty nice price on that. I've seen, you know, the actual developer for Zend is $300-$400 or something. How can a programmer go about getting the Zend IDE, even if their company is not using PHP?
Oh, getting the Zend Core and the Zend Studio?
Right.
Mm-hmm. They can download those both from the Zend.com website. And I think each one of them runs about 150 megabytes. So make sure you got a good high-speed connection before you start that download. But yeah, you can download them both from Zend for free. And what happens is you've got to put in a serial number for your IBMI. Otherwise, it treats it like a 30-day trial until you key in the serial number for your IBMI.
Well, that's still a pretty good deal.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Out of curiosity, I know that they've gone to using the Eclipse plugin. Is that the one that they're giving away for free, or is it their other older version?
I actually still have the older version because I like it, mm-hmm. mostly because I haven't played around with the Eclipse version too much. But I don't think that the old version is available for download anymore, and I might be wrong about that. You can check the website. But I know that the new version remains free. You can still download the Eclipse version for free.
One of the things about the PHP is that it's a scripting language. Enterprises, they want to have something real secure and solid that can do anything. How does PHP as a scripting language fit into an enterprise application development environment?
You know, it's interesting. I get this question a lot. And the answer really depends on who you're talking to. There seems to be a bit of confusion as to what a quote-unquote enterprise application is. Now, in my mind, an enterprise application is one that's easily scalable from a small business to a very large business. And by that definition, absolutely, PHP is ready for the enterprise. You know, there's some huge companies that are already using PHP. I mean, Yahoo, YouTube, and Facebook, you know, are just a few of the, you know, everyday names that you hear that are they're using PHP to back their websites.
I guess those websites would show that PHP can handle a lot of traffic.
Yeah, yeah, that would definitely give you a good solid test of your AS400 processing power.
As far as sophistication, can you write very sophisticated applications with PHP?
In a word, sure, yes, absolutely.
I think that's also one of the things people are concerned about when they hear it's a scripting language. Well, you know, can I write something that really will do anything for my company?
Yeah, I hear you, you know, and I get that a lot too is, you know, well, it's a scripting language, it's interpreted. Do you really want to start using a lot of object-oriented code in a language that's interpreted line by line? And yeah, you know, 25 years ago, would you have wanted to try to use this to do, you know, a big sophisticated CRM application? Probably not. But with the processing power that's available today, I can almost guarantee you, you're not going to notice the difference between the compiled version of programs that you're using and I guess I should qualify this a little bit, and a well-written PHP application.
And I think another issue that some people have is, well, they don't want people to steal their code.
Ah, and I get that question a lot too.
Zend has taken care of that too, haven't they?
Yes, yes. Zend has part of the Zend platform product that encrypts the source. So when you're running your PHP application, so you write some software and you sell it to your client and you install that application on their machine. Because it's a server-side scripting language, it's got to be on their box. So you install it there, and that's actually the source code. But you run that source code through this tool that Zend has, and I wish I could remember the name of it, but I don't, that essentially encrypts the source code so that they can't decrypt it or reverse engineer it or just outright steal your source. I have to believe that it works very well, otherwise that would be a sort of a big drawback for anybody who's developing PHP applications. And I've not heard of any issues with that product. And I work relatively closely with a couple of the guys over at Zend. So if there were some issues, I probably would have heard.
I'm sure. When a programmer is starting to learn PHP, do you recommend that they just pull out Notepad and start typing, or that they use some kind of framework?
You know, honestly, I guess it depends. If you're going to develop large scale applications, like if you're part of a development team and you're going to develop, you know, a CRM application or something similar to that, then I would say you absolutely want to start using a framework out the gate. You know, if it's you and you want to learn PHP and you want to get something up and going quickly so you can kind of see and track your progress. Yeah, you know, feel free. Download some source code off the internet. There's a bazillion lines of code out there that you can pull off of any number of open source websites. Pull it in, tweak it around, save it out to your server and run it. You know, use Notepad or whatever you want to use as your IDE. I would still recommend that you download the Zend Studio or one of the other IDEs that are out there. There's a couple of other ones, PHP Edit, and there's an Eclipse one that they've actually had it for Eclipse that wasn't sort of the Zend version of Eclipse PHP. Anyway, so I know that was kind of a little bit of a wishy-washy answer there, but really, if you're part of a group, go with the framework out the gate. If you're just trying to teach yourself and learn, feel free to, you know, go ahead with Notepad or whatever other IDE you feel like using.
One of the nice things about learning PHP is you don't have to have an iSeries sitting right in front of you to learn it. You can, you know, use your computer at home.
That's absolutely true. Absolutely true. In fact, there are some tricky stuff that you could do using what's called the IBM DB2i storage engine for MySQL. So what you do with that is you develop your application on your home PC or whatever, and you develop it as a MySQL database, okay? Mm-hmm. And then when you install it on your IBM i, you use the what they call the IBM DB2i storage engine for MySQL, and the code works unchanged. And it writes your data out to now DB2 tables rather than the MySQL tables.
Well, that's a very nice feature.
Yeah, it makes it very, very nice to it's really good for like prototyping and things like that. It makes it very nice.
Sticking on the training issue just a little bit, how long does it take a COBOL or RPG programmer to get good enough with PHP that they can become productive on a team?
As with anything like that, it depends on the person, but you know, it goes very quickly. When I first installed Zen Core, when they first released it, and I first installed that, the time between installing that and writing my first script, you know, that accessed DB2 tables and stuff like that, was about 3 hours. And I would expect that with the documentation that's out there, and I'll throw out a little pitch for my book. If you buy my book walks you right through how to go from installing it to writing your first DB2 script in PHP in just a few hours, I would expect. So certainly it can be done very quickly. Now, is that ready for prime time at that point? Probably not, but it goes very quick, and the nice part about it is that it goes quick enough to where you don't have this long learning curve before you get to see some of the benefits of your new knowledge.
In a language like Java or .NET, it normally takes a while before you can become productive. But PHP provides you a fairly quick turnaround, it seems.
Yes.
Why do you think it's important to move to a language like PHP, either on the programmer's side or on the company side? Because I think there's reasons for both the programmers and the company to move.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're absolutely right. And it's a different reason necessarily for the company and for the developer. Let's start with the company. If I'm a company and I've got an IBM i that I've had for 15 years or however long I've had it, I've got a huge investment in time and money in the applications on that machine, most likely. Now, I'm looking for a way to push that application out to the web and give my clients access to their data via the internet or whatever it is. PHP is the tool of choice to do that. I can leverage the investment I've already got in my IBM i. I can leverage the investment I've already got in my applications that I've written over, however many years. And I can leverage my existing staff because they can pick up PHP relatively quickly and get those new applications and modernized applications out relatively quickly. Now, from a developer standpoint, it's a little bit of different proposition. Whether you're a developer that is, an IBM i diehard, that this is where I'm going to work on an IBM i because that's what I do, or you're one of these guys that's kind of going, well, the IBM i, it's ready to run off into the sunset, I better start looking for something else to do because I got 15 years before I can retire. And so no matter which side of that coin you're on, PHP is the answer, because PHP is going to give you the ability to develop some incredible applications on the IBM i. And once you learn PHP, those same skills will take you onto a Linux box, a Windows box, a Unix box. Once you know PHP, you can work on any of those because it doesn't matter. It's totally platform independent.
Sort of like COBOL was supposed to be in the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that PHP is a replacement for RPG and COBOL, or is it something that's going to live alongside them, or how does it fit in the whole enterprise?
You know, it's tough to say because there's arguments on both sides of that. Some of the applications that I've written leverage existing RPG programs and therefore kind of my PHP exists alongside the RPG. I've even written RPG programs specifically to interact with PHP scripts. So in some cases, it works right alongside. Now, are there purists out there that are going, why would you ever write an RPG program again when you can just write it all in PHP? I mean, why not? You've got access to the database. There's no reason why you couldn't write the entire thing in PHP. Of course, there's purists out there that are touting that. Now, do I think that RPG is going to go away? No. Do I realistically think that PHP is a replacement for RPG and or COBOL? No.
There's always some of those batch jobs on the iSeries that work so much better with RPG or COBOL. Right?
Sure, absolutely. You know, and there's nothing that says you can't have a nice web screen for your operator to use, and you know they just push a button and it kicks off the nighttime AR job or whatever, you know, and it just runs a submit job on the back end and then he's done.
Mm-hmm. All right. Make their life easier
too. There you go. they probably like looking at pretty screens, just like the rest of us, right?
That's right. Right. The green screen does get a little old after looking at it for a while.
Yeah.
Why would you use PHP over some of the web-facing or screen-scraping modernization techniques? IBM has theirs. There's JWalk. There's all kinds of different screen scrapers out there. What advantage does PHP have over these different ways?
Well, I actually built an application for one of the Indian casinos here in California about 2 years ago. It was one of the first big projects I did with PHP, and they asked me initially to come in and do a screen scrape application for them. And I sat down with the chief information officer over there, and I told him, I said, look, I can do the screen scraping application for you. You know, I've done them. I know it would work. But honestly, doing a screen scraping application is a temporary solution to a permanent problem. And what I mean by that is that a screen scrape is sort of an interim step between the 5250 green screen display and the web. You don't want to have the 5250 green screen application forever. You want to move away from that because that's where the technology is going. So PHP is the permanent solution. That just moves you away from the 5250 and the display formats and all of that. It's just a whole new user interface, you know, a modern, if you will, user interface. He debated it with his people for, I think, a day or so, and I ended up writing him a PHP application, and they have loved it.
Oh, that's great. Since you're redeveloping a whole application, it's going to take you quite a bit of time. Is your time significantly less with PHP than using Java or .NET to develop a new application like that?
You know, I don't have a good feel for that because I never really developed any large-scale applications using Java.
Okay, yeah.
I played around with Java enough to know that it wasn't really something that I wanted to work with too much. And then when PHP came out, it was just a slam dunk for me. It was like this is the direction that I saw things going. So
right, I think on the iSeries, Java just didn't quite win out because it takes a while to learn, and people don't want to spend that much time. And PHP just it comes natural in a way.
Yeah. It's much easier, and you know, and Zend has done a great job, and not to tout Zend too much, although I should probably hit Mike up for a check one of these days for all the touting of Zend's products that I do. Zend has done a great job providing good tools for an IBMI developer to move from RPG to PHP. They've got a whole tool set, the Zend Core tool set, that allows you to call native programs. It allows you access to user spaces, spool files, the DB2 tables. They've got a whole a whole set of database access functions that they put together specifically to make them easier for your typical RPG developer who's used to using the chain and the setll and the read opcodes and all of that, rather than the SQL, the straight SQL that you would typically use in a PHP application. So they've done a good job in really smoothing the path for the IBM iRPG developer to move into PHP.
One of the ways that people like to use a language like PHP on the front end is maybe put it on a Linux box or Windows server and then access your DB2 on the 400. Do you lose some of that capability that Zend put in there by doing it that route, or is it more effective to have your PHP sitting right on the 400?
You do lose some of the functionality if you do it that way. Now, with that said, if you're running your PHP on a Linux box and you're just accessing your DB2 tables off of your iSeries, then you know there's nothing wrong with that. You can access your DB2 tables all day long and you know everything runs fine. However, you do not have access to native program calls. You don't have access to spool files. You don't have access to user spaces. You don't have access to job logs. A lot of the extensions that Zend put into their Zend core for i5 are not available if you're running your PHP server on a Linux box. So you can do it. You lose a little bit. Now, is there other ways around that? Sure. Could you, rather than doing straight remote program calls from PHP, could you build web services on your iSeries and just have your PHP script consume those web services? You bet. Are people doing that? You bet.
So there's many ways to do the same function, actually, in PHP, just like in COBOL or RPG.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, there's a solution to every problem. It's just a question of, you know, how you want to do things. Using the iSeries, you get all the dependability and reliability and, you know, 99.999% uptime that, you know, you expect out of your IBM i. To me, that's why you run this on your IBM i.
Right. One of the things that people want when they're building these nice web applications is they want to see all this stuff like Google Maps, you know, where stuff is refreshed and they use Ajax and all those fancy things. Can you use all that with PHP, or does it limit you on that kind of ability?
No, it does not. In fact, I actually sat in on a session with Craig Pelkey not 3 months ago, and he was explaining to us how to use Ajax technologies with CGI Dev 2, which, you know, us as RPG developers are familiar. CGI Dev 2 is sort of the RPG way to get out to the web. Well, it was pretty cool. And I sat in and I was like, wow, this is really slick, but I bet it'd be a lot easier in PHP. So I did a little check-in, and sure enough, it is really easy to implement Ajax technologies with PHP. In fact, I wrote just in the last month or two articles about PHP and Ajax and how to implement it. So yeah, it's absolutely available to you and absolutely very, very easy to implement using PHP.
Well, that's nice. It gives you all that capability then of those rich applications.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the direction that things are going on the web.
Absolutely. Now, with that said, it's very easy and it's very nice to implement your Ajax technology with PHP. If you're going to learn PHP and you're going to develop PHP applications, there are two things you're going to have to learn, and there's no two ways about this. You can't get around it. And I've had to have this discussion with a bunch of RPG developers. You're going to have to learn HTML. There's no two ways about it. Got to learn HTML. If you're going to do Ajax, you're going to have to learn some JavaScript, because that's essentially what Ajax is JavaScript. So you're going to have to learn those two things in order to do that. If you're using PHP, you got to learn HTML, period. And you really should learn about cascading style sheets and how to use those as well, because it's going to make your life a lot easier. But again, that's sort of, as you develop as a PHP developer, you can add those tools to your bag of tricks.
So the first step would be to learn the PHP, and then as you're learning the PHP and increasing your knowledge, then start the HTML, the CSS, and all the other good things about the web.
Yeah, absolutely. Once I started learning about cascading style sheets and learning a little bit of JavaScript and learning some other things, it was like, wow, this makes it so much easier. You know, I was just like, oh, this is great. In fact, even up to just recently, that still happens. My wife, she builds her website using this tool called Dreamweaver, and she showed me something the other day, and I was like, oh my God, that's awesome. You know, and I was just like, it makes it so much easier. I'm like, okay, you got to get me a copy of this.
Oh, Dreamweaver does do a great job for the web.
Yeah,
love it.
Yeah, it's very nice. Mm. Very nice. So anyway, we've come a little bit astray from the question.
That's fine. Another thing that I think people like about PHP is that there's a lot of open source applications out there. Do you recommend that people install these open source applications on the web or on their iSeries, or should they stay away from that kind of stuff?
You know, I recommend highly that people go out and look at what open source code is out there, because there's a huge amount of readily available source code for you to pull and look at and modify and learn from, you know, and stuff that you can, you know, load on your machine and play around with and tweak it and then test it out. And that's how you learn. I mean, all of us, that's how we learned RPG, right? Mm-hmm. You know, nobody sat down and wrote their first RPG program from scratch, or at least hopefully you didn't. But, you know, you grabbed something that did something similar and tweaked it around a little bit, renamed it, and away you went. You know, and that was how we all sort of learned RPG. Well, it's the same thing with PHP, only there's just millions of lines of open source out there waiting for you to download and learn from. So yeah, absolutely. The open source aspect of it is huge. Now, do I recommend you go out and, you know, download Sugar CRM and start running that on your iSeries? Well, maybe not, but you could, you know, certainly that option is out there for you, and it'll work, you know, right out the box. You know, I can vouch for that. But do I recommend you use open source applications? If it meets a business need, have at it. If not, if you're just, you know, looking for them to play around with or to try to learn from, most of those applications are very complex and probably beyond what you can learn easily from.
Yeah, there's so many really complete applications out there. Like you said, they're complex. It'd take you probably longer to learn what it does than to go out and learn some PHP using some smaller, more simple stuff.
Absolutely. And it gets a little convoluted once you get to a certain level, of course, you know. And it happens with us in RPG. I don't know, you know, using /include/copy and embedded 3 levels deep/includes, you know, that gets a little convoluted unless you're familiar with it as well. It's the same sort of thing in PHP. You know, you got a lot of /includes and include once and require once and things like that are pulling in code from all over the place. And you're kind of going, wow, what does all this do? And so it can be a little daunting if you start with something that's really complex. So I would say that's probably not the place to start to learn.
You do have something to help people get started with that, don't you? A nice little book.
I do indeed.
Now, why did you write your book? Did you feel that you had a lot to offer the community, or did you want to do it as a way to learn it better yourself?
You know, honestly, probably a combination of both things. I actually have done, I've been writing technical articles going all the way back to the mid-90s. And so I had done a fair amount of writing, and certainly I had the IBMI expertise, and I felt like I had the PHP expertise when I started the project. And the way all that actually came about was I called my editor in, it would have been February of 07. I called and said, hey, look, I got this idea for a book. What do you think? And she's like, oh my God, PHP is, you know, the big thing right now. Everybody wants to know about PHP. If you can write it, we're on it. And I was like, all right. So I kind of started down that road and, you know, laid out my outline and started actually doing the writing and got about 4 months into it before I realized, you know, I really need someone who is just a PHP ace to help me with some of this. And that was when I actually went and recruited my friend Kevin, who works actually for Zen. Hmm. And Kevin is by far the best PHP developer I've ever seen, and just really sharp. He was able to come in and kind of guide that part of it. So what he and I were able to do was him coming from a Linux background and just a PHP guru really was able to give me the depth of knowledge that I needed for the book. And between the two of us, he could give me that information and I could turn it into something that an RPG developer would understand and go, oh, I get it.
Your book sounds pretty interesting. I looked at it and it's really nice and detailed.
Yeah, it's a good place to start if you're going to start doing PHP on the eye. It really is. And I say that, you know, I played a certain role in that, but certainly Kevin played a big role in that as well. And so I think I can say it's a really good resource. So, and from all that I can glean from other people who have looked at it, like the John Paris actually did a review of it and gave it a very favorable review on Amazon. And then Mike Pavlak, who actually works at Zend, did the initial review that is actually printed on the back cover, and he had nothing but good things to say about it. So,
well, excellent. It sounds like you were a good team. One of you understood the I series, and one of you understood the PHP, and both of you had a little bit of knowledge in between.
Yeah. Both of us shared a little bit of knowledge, and so it was definitely a good collaboration between the two of us, definitely.
When someone reads your book, do you expect they're going to go out and become a productive PHP programmer right away? Or are they going to be someone that just sort of picks it up and does a chapter and goes out and begins programming just after reading a chapter? Or what's your intention on it?
Well, the intention is to get them out and actually writing PHP code right out the gate. I mean, they're going to do in the first couple of chapters, you're going to be writing some obviously very simple scripts, but you're going to be writing your own scripts and you're going to be challenged to modify those scripts to make them do some other things and to sort of expand your PHP knowledge as we go along. So yeah, by the time you get to chapter 8, chapter 9, where you're doing some stuff, a little bit of object-oriented stuff and some database access stuff using MySQL and with DB2, yeah, you're ready to go out and start building some real applications. Now, with that said, you're still going to have to learn some HTML in order to make them look like, you know, professional applications, but from a back end standpoint, you're absolutely ready to develop those.
A lot of times on your development team, you have an HTML person and a back end person anyway. So hopefully that person can help out.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's funny you say that. It's actually one of the things that I tell people a lot of times is, look, don't go out and try to become a web developer. You know, don't go out and try to learn all there is to know about cascading style sheets and HTML. Don't become a web developer. Hire one of your kids to do that.
Right. Yeah. Even with my work, I have a friend that he's a outstanding graphic artist, and I hire him to do a lot of my front ends on my web pages.
Absolutely. That's the way to do it. You know, that's what these people do. You know, they build this HTML and they build these websites, you know, so you let them do the, you know, heavy lifting for you. And then you plug in the dynamic content around this beautiful background that they've built for you, you know, and you just plug that into a, you know, into your dynamic HTML and you're good to go.
Right. You have a consulting company. Is that correct?
Yes, I do. I'm the co-owner and co-founder of Olin Business Consulting.
In your consulting company, I'm assuming that it's going to include both PHP and IBMI. Is that correct? Is that the kind of work that you pursue?
Yes, yes. We started primarily as an IBMI consulting firm. You know, we offered custom software solutions and things like that to some of the larger IBMI installations, and have sort of grown into a PHP application development and training company. We actually offer training to IBMI developers looking to make the move to PHP. And also, I actually just completed the curriculum for an Ajax class. So that's coming soon.
Those classes sound pretty interesting. I'll have to have you give me some information about them so I can put that on the modernization website.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
In your experience with the applications you've been writing in PHP, have you come across applications that it's been really important that they were secure, you know, maybe financial transactions or things like that? And did PHP take care of it?
Yes, I have. In fact, one of the applications I did was an application, a payroll application that had to be obviously very secure for a lot of reasons. And yeah, PHP absolutely filled the bill for that. It was a situation where the data was going to be available only on their internal network. So there was some security that I didn't have to worry about. Like I didn't have to worry about the SSL piece and things like that. But as far as limiting access and secure logons and things like that, yeah, absolutely. PHP filled the bill very well as far as adding that security and making them comfortable that it was secure. You know, and then throw in a little bit of JavaScript to have the sessions time out like your bank sessions online. And they were all happy. They thought that was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, you don't want to leave those open for a long time, do you?
No, you do not.
Especially in payroll, you don't want people to come and look at your payroll information. And then didn't you also work on an application for a casino?
Yes, yes, I did.
Yeah, so that would have had to have a lot of financial transactions.
Actually, not so much. It was more of a, essentially their frequent players. You know, you get those cards when you go into the casino and you stick them in the machine. And well, they had a deal where they were sending out mailings for free stuff. You know, come into the casino and you have so many points and you get free stuff. Well, what they decided to do was to change that into a email application. So we would have this application where once you got a certain amount of points, it would send you an email saying, hey, you're eligible for this, come into the casino and you know, get your coupon for a free tickets to a Charger game or whatever it happened to be. And so the application was the user interface to that, which was, you know, they come in, they key in their player ID, and that's right off of their little card that they have, and then it would pop up the list of their freebies that they were eligible for. They would select the, you know, the freebie that they wanted, and then it would actually print out a little coupon that they would take over to the cashier and get, you know, free chips or whatever it was that they were eligible for. So yeah, not so much, but it did need to be somewhat secure because you didn't want, you know, somebody hacking somebody's ID and getting in that way. But not so much from a financial standpoint, though.
Well, I was wondering because 400 or iSeries is what runs the casinos.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. iSeries is all over Vegas and all over the Indian casinos here in California. So
if you could pull out a crystal ball, what do you see as the future for IBM, I, and PHP together?
Well, and you're already starting to see this a little bit, but I would say that definitely you're going to see on the IBMI the movement toward the three-level architecture. You're going to have the user interface, the business logic, and then the database sort of on the back side of that. But certainly the three tiers that you see a lot in other application development, you're going to start to see much more on the IBMI and in the separate languages. I see that the PHP really developing into a user interface for all of the IBMI applications.
It's going to have a good future. It'll probably coexist with COBOL, Java, and RPG for quite a few years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, there's room enough for all those to coexist for a good long while.
Jeff, this wraps up our time together. I'd like to thank you for spending this time sharing some of your knowledge and wisdom about the IBM i, the iManifest, and PHP.
Thank you for joining us for another session of Software Modernization. Please be sure to check back often on our website to find more interviews and additional resources. Our goal is to build a warehouse of information on software application modernization. For more information on software monetization and how you can subscribe to our free services, please visit us at www.softwaremonetization.com. We are always looking for experts in software monetization who are interested in sharing knowledge on this subject. If you are an expert and want to be interviewed by Mark Schroeder, please visit softwaremonetization.com and click on the interview link. This has been a production of MAT, Marketing Assistance Technologies.